I've had access to a lot of coaches and mentors and paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to have access to information that I don't want to have to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
But still, I've had to put myself through all of it.
Yeah.
Like it's the seeds have been planted and I've kind of had some downloads, some great inspiration from people. But then there's no way around some of this shit. Like the best lessons come from having to go through it.
It's true.
And you can pay for all the mentorship and coaching in the world, but the only way that you're truly going to have that stuff sink in is you got to go through it yourself.
Real business owner. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. As always, Kilo G.
What up?
We hope you guys are having a happy Halloween. We ain't pulling no tricks today, but we do got a treat. Our boy Jefferson Rogers is on the podcast for the second time. You know, he's a lot more handsome, a lot more buff, and a lot more richer since the last time you were on the show.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, you can tell he's been all in since the last time we met with him. Yeah. He's a little grayer, too.
Grayer in the beard. When was that?
2020? Hey, mine is too, dude.
Is that 2020?
No, dude. It's been a couple years.
It was legitimately like within the first 6 months or so of you starting your business. So I think it was 2019 or something like that. It was very early on. So we're pushing 4.5 years, almost 5 years on the podcast. And you were within that first year. So, yeah, time flies.
Just like that.
Yeah, your real estate portfolio's bigger. You got a book out now as of today called All In. You know, you're just moving, grooving, and grinding,
keep
bro.
Keep it rolling.
You know, so you're going to have
inspiration from you boys.
Yeah, appreciate that, man. So let's just say that the shoe's on the other foot now. You know, you're inspiring us, and that's what's beautiful about surrounding yourself with badass people is you take it to a certain level, they get to a certain, you know what I mean? You guys just help uplift each other, right?
That's right.
And
man.
So
I love that.
Tell us a little bit about what's been going on the last 3 or 4 years. Obviously, you've built a business from pretty much scratch up to, you know, what type of revenue are you doing now with your business?
Yeah, started in 2018. This year we'll do somewhere around 26, 27 million.
Wow.
It's amazing.
So, I mean, I wish we were at a different place. My goals were much, much bigger than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, 27 million after just starting a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Ain't bad.
Yeah.
Feels pretty
amazing,
good.
Dude.
It's been an easy journey, right?
No problems, no struggles, no pain.
Oh boy.
No backstabbing, no nothing, huh?
It would have seemed like more if I didn't enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
Because it is. There's so many challenges. There's so many headaches. There's so many of those moments where you get backstabbed and you get betrayed and you never saw it coming and you learn your lessons from it and do it better next time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when you're having fun and it's just like after you've been through so many of them, you understand that it's a part of the process.
Yeah.
It makes it a little bit easier.
Just another day in the life of
and another
an
thing
entrepreneur.
That,
you know?
It is.
Yeah.
And you know, I heard something one time from a mentor of mine, he said something along the lines of don't let people surprise you. Mm. So I learned a long time ago to
just do you, dude.
Just do me and don't let people surprise you. So when it does happen, you do get backstabbed. I know it's not a reflection of me.
Yeah.
And it's not all that surprising anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've, I know that there was one point when we talked, I don't know if it was a year or two ago where, look, every business goes through like the ebb and flows of business, right? Like you build and you grow quick and then there's a retraction period and then rebuild period with new people, new foundation. And we were talking like a year or two ago, you're like, yeah, just in the process of rebuilding, we're going to be bigger. We're going to be better. You know, just starting to, you know, get my wits about me again, just went through some tough times with some of the people that left and started competing companies or this, that, the other. Yeah. Right. And so, the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because I think that, you know, when business is going good and it's on an upswing, when it starts going down, you're just like, what the is going on? You know, what am I doing wrong? That's when you really get tested. But if anything, things are falling together so that you can go to that next level, right? Yeah. As long as you learn from it and you make the proper adjustments,
absolutely,
there is a new level for you. Those people had to fall off so that you could ascend, right? They weren't the right people for whatever that is, 20 million.
If they were, they would have stayed.
Yeah, or they would have stayed.
I'm sure you guys have experienced some similar ups and downs in business.
Ups and downs and lefts and rights.
Dude,
yeah.
Many times, yeah. You know. We've had
part of the process.
Sales managers take employees and leave and go start their own thing. And I know, dude, that it's like, you know, I love the advice you got from your mentor where he's like, dude, don't let people surprise you. But you have to go through that, right? And it's like, I can't tell you how many hours I've spent just like, what did I do wrong? Or is it just them? Or was it me? Could I have done something better? You know what I mean? Yeah. Should I have been more, you know, direct? Should I have been more a better leader? Should I have just faced this sooner? Should I have, you know, listened to my intuition?
That's awesome, though.
And it's just because all
most
those
people
things.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
They just point the fingers and
that's
blame.
That's what I was going to say.
And they don't say use it as
a winner's mentality. Yeah.
Because I've done the same thing.
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
It's hard on me.
Yeah.
Because every time something happens, I want to take ownership for it because I know that there is mostly everything to do with something that I did to cause
yeah.
it. And I could have done it better.
Yeah.
And when you have family involved in business, God, you never know what decision to do. And
yeah.
you never know how to approach it. And if you're doing it right, or if you should give them a little bit more
leeway.
Leniency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, I effed it up pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it had to happen that way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think winners look internally. What could I have done differently? And losers say, well, that happened because of this or that, you know, and point fingers externally. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason why we all have the results that we have is because we're probably harder on ourselves than the average individual. And we look for ways to improve in shitty situations. Right. And that's what makes winners win is like, okay, whether it was my fault or not, was there something that I could have done to make an adjustment so that the next time there's a better outcome, right?
And so, exactly.
We've definitely evolved, bro, just watching your journey over the last couple few years. You know what I mean? It's like all the shit you went through, you can tell, like just seeing you online, seeing you at the gym, like you've stepped into a evolved leader, which it's never ending, right? Like we're always going to constantly evolve as leaders. But dude, like, I'm excited to talk a little bit about your book, man. Like what made you write this book? Because, you know, like we hear things out when we're out building businesses, right? Like why would a guy that owns JKR Windows want to build a book or write a book and build a personal brand? And why would a guy that owns an accounting company and like, why do we do these things? Right. And that, so I hope you talk about that in your book and we talk a little bit about it today because dude, it takes a long time to get traction and I've seen you take a long time to get traction. I've seen you, you know, jumping on, you know, little podcasts and then bigger podcasts and like constantly evolving and staying consistent. And it's like, obviously I want to know how it's served your business. It obviously has, right? Yeah. Even if it's just improved you as a leader, it's evolved your business, but it's also probably brought a lot of attention to your business as well. Maybe brought talent, customers, everything.
Yeah. One of the things that I've learned the hard way is that it wasn't about, in the beginning, it was just like, okay, I got some advice to be on podcasts and get myself out there and get out of obscurity and build a brand. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
For the first year, I was just like, what the hell am I even doing
totally
this for?
Get it. Yeah.
And I was just going through the motions and on podcasts and doing social media posts. And until I really started paying attention to why, it was a whole lot easier for me to do it where I could buy in and I was all in into doing it because it was before it was like a drag and doing a post, you know, I was like, God, I committed to doing this post, but I don't even know why I'm doing it. It's kind of a drag and it's like this chore. But then when I shifted, I was halfway through the book when I figured it out and I'm still figuring shit out, but it just started to get a little bit more clear. When I focus on building a brand and putting content out there and putting this book and spending, it took me freaking 3 years to write this book.
Yeah.
Ton of energy, ton of time. It started to get more clear that it's not just for me to be famous on TikTok or Instagram.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I was like battling with that. I was like, am I supposed to be famous or
am I a business owner or
do I take more time away from my business to do this?
Yeah.
And then I started getting people that would reach out and say, man, the only reason I applied with your company is because I saw that podcast that you were on and your message just resonated with me. And then it clicked. It was like, man, it's not just about becoming Instagram famous.
Yeah.
It's about just building credibility and getting my story out there. And let's focus it 100% on what my strategic priorities are.
Yeah.
With building a real estate portfolio and building my effing company.
Yeah.
And so now for the past 18 months, it's, you'll notice that there was a shift in all of my social media that went solely towards building value and pointing in the direction of JKR Windows.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that when you're doing podcasts or writing the book that you're speaking to, young salespeople, you know, maybe a young version of you, you know, dropping all the lessons that you've learned to get where you are in the book, and you're just saying, okay, like this, here's the blueprint, right, on how to be successful. Find a company to work with, a culture to be around, a place that you can make good money that appreciates you, shit like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you know, the one thing that I'm still trying to figure out is this self-promotion thing. Like, some people are really good at it and they want to talk about themselves all day long.
Yeah.
And you know, I like telling all my wins and stuff like that, but I'm not like a big time self-promoter.
Over the top with it.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Like way out there. So I still, one of the things that fires me up about doing social media and going on podcasts and writing a book is just offering as much value as I possibly can, talking to that version of myself where I was at 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it, you never know, like if it's the right time, the right place, the right message, that story just sunk in with that person at that moment. It could be like, I remember where I was at and what I was doing and the book I was reading when it clicked for me.
Yeah.
And it was Grant Cardone for me. And if you look in at the first page of this book, it says something along the lines of, it was a book and it was the right place, the right time, the right message, and a story that resonated with me that changed everything.
Yeah.
And it was just one decision that I could have kept going down this path.
Yeah.
But I completely changed the trajectory of my life from reading that one book.
Dude, I remember seeing you starting a post right when you was in first into 10X, dude. Yep. I was like, oh, hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't seen you in years, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm seeing you in my feed. And I was like, oh, hell yeah. And you were still working for that other company back then.
Yep.
So it's just incredible what you've done, dude. But I do want to say,
walking around in the snow, knocking doors.
Yeah,
see, he saw it too. Yeah. So just out here knocking doors, y'all.
Yeah, got his beanie on.
I think that's the only one I remember because I was like, fucking respect, dude. Yeah. Knocking doors when it's snowing.
Hell yeah.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, dude, I love where we went with that because it is such a weird battle because, like, deep down, I think we all want to be a big deal. You know what I mean? And so we do. We battle this whole idea of like, you know, like, oh, yeah, like this is getting big and I'm getting all this attention and it can kind of go to your head and all this stuff. But, we're, you know, but at the same time, there's also this whole other side that's like, well, you know, like I don't really want to be a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have to, you know, hold up this image, right? And so it takes a little bit of time. Like, I understand that battle that you talk about of like really becoming authentic with it and authentic to yourself. But at the end of the day, it is important to be a big deal because if you have the right intentions, it's what gives men and women permission to like step in and then be a big deal in their world, right? Yep. And that's how, you know, influence can become powerful, dude. But it is a weird battle because you got Carnegie books and stuff that we read and it's like how to win friends and influence people. And it's like, dude, just be a better listener. Just be a better listener. So it's hard to start being like taking control of the conversation and talking about yourself. And, you know, but once you kind of get through that battle, which I don't know if the battle fully ever goes away, but once you kind of get through it and you kind of step into the right intentions,
I'm shy and quiet, you know, all the time. So it's always, it's tough out here for the quiet, shy one.
He's still learning how to listen.
Yeah.
He does such a great job. Look how good he's been listening this whole time.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I have to just tell my mind, shut up. Shut up.
He's almost done. He's almost done.
But let the dog off the leash here. Just want 3, 2. Fuck you guys.
Well, you have so much value to offer.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you spew a lot of hot air, like at least you'll find some gold nuggets in there. You can't dig in the dirt and just pick up nuggets the whole time, you know? So I make people just have to sift through my bullshit to find those nuggets, you know what I mean?
There's quite a bit of that.
Yeah, hell yeah, there is. They've earned that nugget by the time they got it, if they heard all the bullshit before it, haven't they?
They had to listen through a lot of it.
There's a method to the madness with that, you know?
You talk enough, something fucking good's about to come out eventually, right? Like, it's just a numbers game, you know? Fucking every dog has his day, you know? But you were talking about, you know, being a big deal, this, that, the other. That's one of the six human needs is significance.
Uh-huh.
Right. And there's different ways to get significance in this world. Some people need to have money to feel significant, right? They're bringing value to the world. And so I'm, you know, significant finally. Then there's the people that are all about charity. That's how they feel like that they're making significance in the world. Right. And so like, whether it's being a big deal, you know, whatever it is, we feel significant when other people are giving us praise or this, that, the other. But in reality, I mean, if you're the right type of human being and it's an inspiring story from going from, hey, I used to do drugs, or I used to sit here and just drink alcohol all the time and, you know, was a lost soul. I wasn't the husband or the father that I should have been. And I picked up a book and it was just that one moment that changed my life. Like, that's a cool story. Because there's a lot of people that are lost right now, that are drinking, that are doing drugs, that aren't showing up in their homes the way they should, whether it's as a wife or a husband, a mother or a father, right? Like, and literally they say finding is reserved for the seekers. You were sitting down and you were reading information, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you found something.
And I was seeking.
And you were seeking something and you found it because you were seeking. The problem is if you just never would have went looking or seeking something better, you would have still been doing drugs and you still would have been drinking and you still would have been less than as a man, right? And so I think it's very, very important that even if somebody's at a low spot right now, that they just put themselves in an environment where there's a possibility, just a chance where they can find something that has the ability to help them make that shift, whether it is listening to a podcast, whether it is, you know, reading a book, whether it is, you know, changing the people that you hang out with. Put yourself in an environment where the likelihood of something good happens is increased, right? And you did that by picking up a book. And anybody listening to that could pick up a book called All In as of today, and hopefully find that moment for them, right? And really, that's what it's all about, is taking our life's experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, and trying to, you know, part wisdom on other people, right? What's the point of living life and going through all the shit, this, that, the other, just to get rich and just, you know, be by ourselves with, if we can't pass it on and make the world a better place?
Absolutely.
Because of these terrible situations that we've had to overcome, right? And so anyways, that was there's some hot air there. Hopefully there was a nugget or something. But
you know
what's
interesting is you were spot on, and it's so simple.
Like, it is simple.
The success principles and the methodologies that most successful people use follow a very similar path.
Yeah.
And if you just rattled off half of what this book was about, about the drugs and the alcohol and not being the father and the husband and not living up to my potential and getting around the right people and surrounding myself with positive environment and consuming good content.
And look what's happened.
And
isn't that weird?
It was just my version of it.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
5, 6, 7 years later, look what's happened, right? Mm-hmm. You're a successful entrepreneur, a completely different husband, a completely different father. Your bank account looks completely different, as we alluded to. Your body looks completely different. Your mindset's completely different, all within a matter of 5, 6, 7 years.
Boom.
It's really not that difficult. The problem is application. People really just don't want to put in the time, the effort, or the energy, or invest the money to put themselves around a Grant Cardone or join a mastermind or whatever it is. Like, flat out, it's damn near impossible to stand next to somebody. Like, the closer you get to the sun, the fucking hotter it gets, bro. So if you have to buy your way in to get close to the sun, you're going to get a fucking nice tan. You know what I mean? And you'll feel that, and you'll be able, there's no way you can be that close to somebody doing big and great things and look at them and be like, okay, that's a fucking human, dude.
Yep.
I'm a fucking human. Like, if I all out commit and go all in on my shit, like, I can do something with my life too. Right. And it's that important just to control those environments. Quit going to the fucking bar. Quit surrounding yourself with fucking losers. Like, it's really not that difficult. There's a period of time where you probably went through it too, where you're transitioning from this guy that was using or drinking and just not who you should have been to the guy that you were creating, where you kind of feel lost a little bit. in transition, going through no man's land as you're rebuilding this whole new individual that has the ability to build the life that you've built. But that's also part of the process. And I think is when people start going through no man's land and they feel alone and they're going through kind of the muck of recreating themselves, that's when they retract and they just go back to what's familiar. That's the difference.
It's so easy.
Yeah. So,
and there's something you said there that stuck out, because if you guys remember back in 2017, I'd made more money in that year than I'd ever made before when I was still working for the other company.
Yeah.
And I came to talk to you guys about taxes.
Yeah.
And being around this environment and your guys' energy and your confidence, it made me look myself in the mirror. Mm. And when you surround yourself with other successful people, if you're not quite to the level that you want to be at, you got to kind of look at yourself in the mirror and be like, man, these guys aren't anything that special.
Yeah.
And I could certainly be doing a lot more, and I can either go back to doing the stuff that I have been doing, or I can take this as that seed planted. The seed was planted and I could have ignored it, but I went back out of here and was like, God,
didn't we say,
I know Kel. Like, he was just a punk ass kid in school.
Yeah.
Like, why can't I have that level of success?
Yeah. We've been trying to say that for 5 years now. Both of us aren't anything that great, you know? And it's
just, and I'm not anything that great.
I do remember when it was, you were on the fence though, and you were like, dude, like, I'm running this whole company. All these guys are doing is counting their money, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I remember we were all sitting here talking and just like, dude, you already know you can do it, dude.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it, right? You'd already talked to the suppliers. Scary. You'd already, you know what I mean? It's like, you already knew you could fulfill jobs. Just get out. Even if you just had to start with just you going out and selling your own jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you did.
And that's what it has to start with.
I thought we set him up an entity before he even left. I thought when we were walking out, we put him in that office right there to set up an entity.
We did. We set up
like an entity. We were just like, dude, LLC. Go do it. Like, just go. We can set up. It's easier than you think. Yeah. I'll just like set up an entity right there in that office, you know, and then set up and then boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I just don't think people understand how powerful it is to take the first step, because the first step leads to the second. And then the third, you know what I mean? Like, we just get stuck in overthinking, like, okay, where do I start? Where do I do it? You know, like, it's just like, just fucking, what is the natural, easiest next step? And then take the next one after that, right?
And it's not always entrepreneurship. Like, some people aren't cut out for entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the shit that I've had to go through in the past 6 years, most people would quit.
Yeah.
That's why there are so few of us entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Because it's difficult and it's challenging and it takes time away from other really important things in your life. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be good at not only being an entrepreneur and managing those things, but you got to be good at communicating that to the people that you love. Because I could have just blown it all out of the water as much time as I spent those first 18 months.
I
hardly ever even saw my family.
Yeah.
But thank goodness I had casted that vision and I had communicated it. And those are all kind of these elements that you have to become an entrepreneur. So it's not all about entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. All in is also about going all in at whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
It could just be like wherever you're at right now, you needed some inspiration to pour more energy and commitment into that. Mm. Whether it's at a retail store.
Could be going all in on your marriage.
Exactly.
You know, you could work a 9-to-5, but you know, you go home and you have a roommate instead of a spouse. Because neither one of you are all in. You know what I mean? You're just kind of, eh. That's what everyone's doing these days. Or in your sales job.
Or really anything that you're doing. Where you're at right now, you chose to be there. So why not put an all-in effort into where you're at? Because you're going to take these same habits into whatever you do next.
Yeah.
And if you have a shitty attitude and you're doing it half-assed and you're doing just enough to get by, just enough not to get fired, well, what do you think is going to happen at the next place you go to? So you could choose right now to realize that there's something more for you and take some of that inspiration, that seed planted, and go and do something with it. And it's not always going to turn into owning your own business and doing $27 million in revenue, but you could double your income. You could triple your income by doing the same thing that you're doing right now, but just focusing more intention behind it and giving a much higher level of commitment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just builds self-respect. Isn't that really what we all want? Is we want to feel good about ourselves?
Absolutely.
Isn't that why we chase different things? Is we just want to feel good?
Absolutely.
So there's nothing better than, you know, feeling good about yourself, which would ultimately mean that you're doing whatever it is you're doing to 100% of your capabilities, right? Like when you work for somebody else, go like when somebody says, "Hey man, we need to work harder. We need like sometimes it's not just for the bottom line of the company; it's for the company to make more money. That's an investment into you in order for you to create a habit that this is just who I am. I show up this way, and guess what happens? Those type of people in companies, it's hard to ignore them after 2 years or 3 years or 5 years or 10. Those are the type of people that will move up in a company, potentially get equity partnership. Like if you become so valuable to an entity, they will reward that. Like work so hard that if you were removed from the situation that they would feel it. If you could remove yourself from a company and they just business as usual on the next day, like you're probably not as valued. That's not a position you want to be in, right? Like bring so much value. So if the market does tighten up and their cuts have to be made or this, that, like be the one that your name doesn't get brought up. Like we can't afford to lose X because they just show up every single day with a positive attitude. Attitude is such a big fucking deal, dude. Like when we talk about people, we're like, dude, man, they just show up every day and they have such a good attitude. Like we really want to grow that person. We really want that person to be with us for a long time. Right? Like some sports teams legitimately bring in veterans just because of their attitude.
What if you're at a place where they're not recognizing you for that though? Like you're pouring your heart into something and you're going all in. You're just 100% committed, doing everything that you can, but you're not being recognized for it.
Then you should speak up and just say, I feel like I'm going all in here for this business and for this company, and I'm committed to seeing it work, but I just don't know if the company's actually committed and all in on me. So what is
maybe
it?
Maybe the wrong fit.
Maybe the wrong fit.
But those skills and the habits that you're building in the process of just being all in and committed, maybe they don't translate there, but they will translate somewhere else.
You get to take those
with you.
Doesn't
mean you don't do it.
100%. You get to take that work ethic with you because it's yours.
You developed it. I'll be goddamn.
You know?
It's such a special thing. Yeah. But people get so caught up in like, I'm not being recognized, so I'm going to like tone it back and I'm not going to give it all my all.
Yeah.
Which is just a terrible attitude, terrible mentality. You want to go all in whatever you're doing, in everything that you do.
Yeah.
My mom always used to tell me that she wanted me to have balance in my life. And I always struggled with it.
Like New Balances? Like
no, not New Balance shoes.
Hell yeah.
Like she wanted me to have balance. Like I need the areas of my life balanced.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still navigating how to think about that. But really, when you're focused on business and you're trying to level up as a leader or a salesperson, you're going to be giving it a lot of energy, a lot of time. You're going to be practice, drill, rehearse, doing all your role play. You're out there in the field getting reps in. It's going to take time away from other important things in your life.
Yeah.
So really, you need to harmonize all of these things and you got to be good at all of them. Because I don't just want to be good at being a business owner and be a shitty dad and terrible husband. I don't want to be the best father and husband. And I want to be the best effing entrepreneur in leadership that I can possibly be. And you just got to give your effort to all of these things.
And
I talk about
it
in the book.
And be fit while you're doing it.
There's all of these important areas in your life that you can't just let one take away from the other. You got to be good at all of them.
Well, I don't think it's that difficult to do, provided you remove some of the bullshit, right? Yeah. Like, you probably aren't going to be able to know every NFL stat and be able to...
Or go to the bowling league and the softball league.
You know, I mean...
Hanging out with the buddies on the weekends.
There's some things, you know, you kind of got to get rid of to make room for these things you call priorities, right? Unless just FUN is the priority, right? Fun all the time, whatever. Yeah. But my finances are weak, right?
You definitely got to lose that mindset that you were hitting on, though, too, man. With even as the business owner, right? The whole recognition thing, because I can tell you, I've been guilty of that before, where it's like, everyone doesn't see what I'm doing, right? And it's like, even as the business owner, right? And it's like, you do. You got to lose that, too, to make room for... You got to have a very good vision and mission that you're just all in committed to where it's like, even if you're not getting what you think you need sometimes from these external things, like, you're still going to move forward and put the right foot in front of, or the
with
whatever.
A, with a great attitude.
Left, right. You know, because, I mean, dude, that's what crumbles marriages. That's what crumbles businesses, is when people start having this mindset festering of like, oh, well, they'll know what they had when I'm gone. They don't even realize everything I've done around this house, you know,
without communicating.
Me and my wife have had those fights before, you know, and it's like, and dude, those things happen in businesses. And so even as the business owner, man, like everybody wants to be recognized, but as the business owner, as the leader, like, dude, you have to fucking march forward, whether you're getting it or not, you know? Yep. And so
without expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. So even these people important. That are employees that want to be a business owner one day, it's like, dude, you got to be all in and be where your feet are, just like you talked about, and do your absolute fucking best every single day, because those are the habits and the skill sets you're going to take into your own business if that is what you're aspiring to be as a business owner, you know? And it's like, you know, if you're half-assing and you have that sick mindset of like, you know, and I'm not getting recognition, so I'm gonna take my foot off the gas so people see everything I have been doing. Well, that's gonna translate into your business when you decide to become a business owner, you know? And so anyway, I just love that message.
So how do you recognize that? How do people recognize it?
Well, you know what, man? I don't know how to tell people to do it, because I am just a person of introspection. Like, maybe it's from the therapy I did very young and all the years and all the books I read and shit when I was in therapy. I don't know. But I do know, as my young adult life to now, like, I always am just sitting there, like, introspecting. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm really turning the conversation back to me. Like, obviously I'm feeling frustrated about things, and I feel that wired tension that you get. Yeah. You probably feel it too.
Absolutely.
And so I know when I feel that, like, I have to have these like dialogues in my head of just, okay, can't change other people. So like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, what am I not happy with that I'm doing, how I'm reacting to these situations or whatever. Right. And so I don't know if it's just been a habit now though. Like, I don't care how great you are. You have your peaks and your valleys, man. And when you're in your valleys, if you're not having introspection, you're kind of screwing yourself up.
Yep. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what happens is if we have too much time on our hands, we start thinking about everything that everybody else is doing. But when you're fucking busy, just, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm out on a run, I'm not thinking about what anybody else is doing, dude. I'm running, right? If you're at the gym lifting, are you thinking about what anybody else is doing, or are you just lifting?
Yeah.
You know, like if you're busy at work, when you were busy writing your book, are you thinking about what everybody else is doing, or are you writing your book?
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I think it's important just to, like, again, figure out what your priorities are. And then stay busy on those priorities, jumping from one to the other, whether it's your health and then going into the office and then, you know, writing a book and going home and, you know, communicating effectively with your, like, for us, like I started thinking, I'm like, okay, well, we have meetings at the office. Like, why don't we meet as a family? Like, we want to recognize our employees. We'll go around and be like, dude, hey, good job on that. Good job on that. But like, we don't create space. Like, we have a meeting and hey, so-and-so did awesome. They're the employee of the month. Like, so it's like, why aren't we bringing this into the house and like recognizing the good things?
So do you guys do weekly meetings at home?
Yeah. So every single Sunday, like, we get together, the kids have to say two nice things that they saw each other doing for each other. And then one piece of feedback. I don't think kids can take constructive criticism anymore. And look, like, if me and my wife are beefing and she's like, well, you could do this better. And I'm like, oh, that's a perfect place to give me feedback. I'm going to be super receptive. Yeah, right. My defense went up and I'm going to say, well, you know what I mean? Like, or imagine if we're sitting there watching TV and I'm like, hey, babe, you know something you can work on? She'd say, fuck you. You know, like 30 things that you could work on. So it's like,
you want to play this game?
Are we creating an environment and a space to where we go into it expecting feedback to where it's not like, I'm not mad at you right now. I have nothing negative to like, but we're all going to agree that we're coming together, that we all want to be better. Mm-hmm. Do we all agree that we're trying to be better as people, as human beings, as a family? Is that something that we all want? Is that a group goal that we can all agree on? The answer is yes.
I love that.
Right? And so
that's where you got the best opportunity to grow.
Best opportunity.
Seeing how you show up for other people. Do you guys do that in your group too your business owners inside your mentor group?
I shared that as a lesson on one of our group calls. As I said, go into your family, like, you guys all have meetings, like, start having meetings with your family. Give your, like, there's plenty of times I come home and I'm like, oh, wow, that this is, look, the kitchen's spotless. Like, but my wife is running the kids around or some shit. You know what I mean? And then by the time she gets, I don't say nothing. But on Sunday, I'm like, hey, thank you so much. Like, the house was absolutely incredible this week. You did. I know it's not easy to run the kids around and do all that. By the way, thanks for not making me go to Vegas to go kids school clothes shopping. You know, I don't like Vegas and having to go from spot to spot. That means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like, it gives me an opportunity to pour into her and show my appreciation, which I lack.
I love that.
Right. And then I can also say, hey, by the way, I think this is something that you could work on. And it's like receptive because I know I'm about to get something that I have mm-hmm. to work on. And then if it's communication.
You guys do that too, Kel?
Do we do?
Do you do the family meetings?
Well, we do family meetings, but they're not every Sunday. They're kind of like.
That's a big commitment.
When we know, you know, things are falling off. It's a
big commitment.
Yeah, we do family meetings quite often, you know, but yeah. probably not every week.
I need to get back to regularly doing that too.
Like, yeah. Great like idea. For me, it's like patience. So then I have to, on a postcard, write patience and I put it in my truck. So it's the last thing I see right before I get out of my truck, before I walk into my house. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing I see. Okay, this whole week, I need to work on my patience with the kids. Patience with the kids, you know.
Like, how many kids you got now?
Three.
Three kids?
Yeah. You lose your patience.
How old your oldest?
You know. She turns 14 in a few weeks. I battled with her last night.
Did you? 14 is tough.
Yeah. It
a
is.
Lot of, a lot of times,
eye rolls,
man,
bro.
A lot of times it's like... When you have multiple kids, you know, the thing they need the most is one-on-one time. And that's the hardest thing to give sometimes, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we do schedule one-on-ones at least once a month.
Yeah.
I'll take Knox this month. Kaylee takes Tave. And then we kind of flip them. And then Kobe. But it has been kind of fun lately, dude. They're both into wrestling, which is what I did that growing up, dude. And they're, like, at wrestling over here at the college. And I get to take them to that. So, it's cool. Like, you start actually, like, getting into the same things when you start doing the one-on-ones and you really hear them. Probably one of the best things you can do for one-on-ones is, like, just take a fucking car ride.
Yeah,
there's something about that.
We've been doing daddy-daughter days.
Yeah.
And my wife just gave me this list of questions to ask my kids. Check this out.
Yeah, I want
to
hear it.
So I'm always sitting there, like, I want to connect with my daughters.
You're like,
I fucking love being a dad, and I love having a relationship with my daughters. But I'm sitting there like, God, how many times can I ask them about school and their friends? And I need some more questions to ask. So we just did a weekend getaway, me and my wife, and we kind of go through some of our goals and our vision, and we're working on another vision board. And she asked me, what are some of my goals and what do you feel like we need to add? And I told her, I want some more questions to ask the girls.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not a girl, dude. I need some questions.
And she gave me this list of 10 questions.
That's so smart, dude.
What are they?
Okay. Lately, what have you been thinking about before you fall asleep at night? Mm. If someone told you that they had a surprise for you, what would you hope that it was? What has been your favorite thing to play lately? What do you love about it? And there's seven more. And so if you mix those in, like we do monthly one-on-one dates, daddy-daughter days.
Yeah.
And now I'm excited to be able to ask my daughters this stuff.
Some new
and
questions.
Get more than just like a yes or no answer, you know?
Yeah, I know, man. Like when we were in therapy parenting classes and all that shit, instead of just asking your kids, and so I still do this to this day, but I need more questions, bro. I think that's brilliant with your wife, you know, like just humbly, like, dude, I'm not a chick, like. Teach me the right questions to ask. Yeah. I think that's badass. But I do remember in parenting classes I used to go to, it was like, dude, instead of asking your kid how was school and getting the same answer every day, start asking, well, what was the best part of it? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're just like, lunch. And you're like, no, resource. Like, what was the best part of your day? Right? And like, you have to kind of dig
that's
a little
like
bit. But once
really
you get them open enough,
connection.
Man, yeah, exactly.
Where they want to talk to you and they're comfortable talking to you. And not that my daughters aren't, but I ask these simple ass dad questions and they're just like, yeah, dad, school was great.
Yeah.
Good. Like, no, like I wanted the long answer, babe.
Yeah.
Like, did I ask it wrong?
That's a tough question to say. It was good. Well, first period, we did this. And second period, you know, like,
you just
you're
ask.
Just going to kind of.
You got to ask good questions.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
It's and the reason questions. I asked that question earlier, you know, how do you do it? Because some people don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And they're looking for the answer. And for some of us, like it's came over time that we reflect and we go internal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great tool for me, but I didn't always do that.
Yeah. You're so like, now, how do you tell people how to get started that aren't even there yet? You know what I mean? Yeah. I know that's kind of like what was the root of your question.
Like here's an example. Like you, all of the answers are out there. The books have been written.
Yeah.
You've got these people that are around you that you can go expose yourself to, and you watch what they do and how they treat people mm-hmm. and how they ask questions yeah. and how they talk about how they go back and reflect on the mistakes that they've made.
Yeah.
And then you start doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's ain't going to happen overnight.
Yeah.
But I think that's how I got that. Like, I read the Success Principles by Jack Canfield, and that was a hard principle for me. Take 100% responsibility.
Yeah.
And he gives all these examples about all the shit that you should take responsibility for. I was like, why the fuck would I take responsibility for that?
Yeah.
But after you start practicing it and you realize yeah. that other like very successful examples in your life take 100% responsibility for everything, like, maybe I should start practicing that.
It's actually the greatest marketing tool you have, because people literally are attracted to people that are accountable. Like, nobody's seeking out victims. You know what I mean? Like, you want to attract great people to your company, your life, to date, to whatever, man. Like, yeah. people of accountability are the most attractive people.
Well, I mean, I think people start, first off, they should start with their health. Because if you can think more clearly in your body and mind, maybe that person that's just a little bit healthier than the version of you that you are today comes up with an idea or a thought and starts taking more ownership, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you're taking ownership of that, that's like the simple low-hanging fruit that everybody can take ownership over, is just their health. Just start moving your body, taking care of yourself a little bit better.
And there's a lot of things that come with it.
And then the dominoes will start to fall. Mm-hmm. Because when you hold yourself to a high standard in that regard, guess what? You're going to look for something else to hold yourself to a higher standard to. Like, it's impossible to be feeling better in your body and mind and just let everything else around you stay shitty.
Isn't that interesting? And people just completely overlook that.
Overlook it.
And they go back to Chick-fil-A for another sandwich full of 75 chemicals.
I used to. Okay, it was every day. It was every
some
day.
Some stuff.
You know, I mean. The
you make exceptions on it. I understand.
The egg white griller, bro. It's egg white and chicken. You know, no, I don't eat it really that much anymore. I had it actually this last weekend for the first time in like a year. But I used to eat that every single morning.
I know. Like, I remember you telling me that. I was like, bro, have you looked at the list of ingredients in a chicken sandwich at that
now
place?
I eat my chicken eggs out of my own freaking, off my land, bro, every
that,
single dude. Day. So
love that.
It's
I was
a little
working
different.
On my chicken coop this
you
morning.
Yeah. How many chickens you got?
40.
Really?
40 of them.
Wow.
Yeah, we're building a little ecosystem in the backyard, so they got
how
their
many
own
roosters
plants
you got then?
I don't have any roosters.
You just got straight hens. Then
all hens.
Them bitches are laying, dude.
So
you
I've
probably
got,
get 20, 30 eggs a day at
so
least.
I got 27 new babies that are about
okay, they
14
laying,
weeks.
Yeah.
So we're 4 weeks away.
Yeah.
But I got 13 others that we took over from a neighbor, and we're getting 12 or 13 eggs a day. And there's some healthy moms.
I was out there yesterday and pulled 40 off of my bitches. You know what I mean?
Like, 40 eggs?
40 eggs, bro.
How many chickens
do
you have?
We got 35, dude. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Yeah, but they're full grown. And we have like one baby chick. I guess I'm with 36.
Is that you on know? The chore chart for the kids? Like, hey, go harvest the eggs?
Yep.
Or do you just do it?
No. We call them responsibilities around our house. Just the house responsibilities.
That was the first time I did
using
it.
Chores.
Yeah. That was the first time I did it, and I got in trouble because I took two eggs that were fertile.
Oh, that mama was laying on?
Yeah. Huh.
So do you have some roosters too?
Yeah, I got a couple of roosters. But every time we have more, dude, more roosters come out of these little babies, man.
Yeah.
And so it's like right now I have, I think, three roosters, and we don't mind having two, but anything more than that, dude, like some cockfights go down, bro. There's a pecking order, and they all want to be dominant, and then there's a problem in the freaking hen house.
But they're
dude.
Super protective, aren't they? So they kind of help the hens?
They do, because we got hawks and shit that fly over, because we open it up and let them, and like you'll see them do their thing, like. And then move them underneath something, whether it's a tree.
The rooster's
or,
like managing the hens.
Yeah, I mean, that's so cool. Dude, the ladies, dude, they're protecting their ladies, bro. They don't want to be stuck in the freaking hen house with just three dudes.
Yep.
You ever been to a freaking party, sausage fest?
But isn't it interesting, as you start focusing on your health,
mm-hmm.
how it leads to stuff like getting your own chickens?
Yeah.
Like 5 years ago, I would never. My dad had chickens. I was like, how the hell do you have time for chickens?
Nuts. Yeah.
You nuts?
Yeah.
But now it's like, with everything going on and food as questionable as it is,
yes,
I want to create good habits in my house, and we've got extra responsibilities around there for the kids to stay busy and learn some discipline and have some good habits. And then, God, we want to eat healthy,
man. Fresh eggs, dude.
Yeah.
And my daughter ended up breaking out with some stuff on her skin last spring or this spring. And we went to a doctor and we were like, what the hell is going on? She's 9 years old. Like, this should not be happening. This is scary. And we found out that she had parasites. She had, her liver wasn't processing how it should have. So it's like processing out her skin.
Wow.
So over the last 8 months,
been cleaning her system. It's been
kind of a scary journey to have your little 9 year old going through all this.
Yeah.
But we've really just cleaned things up, and it's been a challenge with her. Cause you know, kids, dude, they see everybody else eating like shit and they want to eat like shit. They just think it's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's tough. It takes some shit to happen to kick it in high gear, you know?
And it sucks that it had to happen that way, but you're right, because it did put things into perspective for her.
Yeah. See, if we would have known all this early on, like, we'd have been all in early on, but we didn't. Right. Otherwise we would have done it.
Yeah.
And there's an evolution that takes place, and it does come from, you know, maybe starting your business and then realizing that you're letting your health go to shit, and then feeling how that slows you down, and then seeing how that affects your family and all that stuff. So health should be first, but it's not. No. Otherwise it would have been with us too. So hopefully we're inspiring people that are more early on in their journey, how important it is. And I think I see enough online where people are doing that, you know, but you do kind of have to evolve up to it, man. People always just have to learn their own way.
It is. Know? I was just going to say that, like, I've had access to a lot of coaches and mentors and paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to have access to information that I don't want to have to find out the hard way.
Yeah.
But still, I've had to put myself through all of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the seeds have been planted, and I've kind of had some downloads, some great inspiration from people. But then there's no way around some of this shit. Like, the best lessons come from having to go through it.
It's true.
And you can pay for all the mentorship and coaching in the world, but the only way that you're truly going to have that stuff sink in is you got to go through it yourself.
Yeah, you get your fucking face pounded in. And you're like, damn, dude, that don't feel good.
And you're
like, I remember him telling me that. Yeah. This is what he meant.
Oh. And dude, like, sometimes, like, yeah, I mean, bro, like, the tactical things in business matter. You know what I mean? And like, when you're in building mode, that's what you're so focused on. It's so easier to let go of these things. Can you do it all? Yeah. But you didn't, right?
No.
And so, you know, like, you have to have a lot of gratitude for when you do get to a certain point, your company's evolved, you've had these hard lessons that you've learned yourself, that you can, right? Not that you can't be all in all the time, right? Like, the book is obviously teaching people how to get to that place, but not everybody is all in from the get-go, right? No. It's just not how it goes. And so
that's not what the book is
about.
Reading
this book and getting the mentorship, it is bringing things to the forefront so that you can. Like, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I do now if I didn't have the company and the business to a certain point, because I'm just telling you right now, like, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, when I was just so focused in on growing the sales and the processes and everything up there, like, in that phase of my life, like, there's just no way, dude, I wasn't going to be all in on the gym and my diet and my routines every single day. Like, I was just so focused, but without doing that, I wouldn't be in a position now where it's like, I can actually be way more focused on it. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And so, like, I know a lot of people probably disagree with that, but I've never met one entrepreneur yet that was like, didn't kind of go through their little fat phase
their own
you know what I mean?
That.
And so, like, you know, and they, like, they had to learn, like, fuck, bro, I actually really need to value my time a little bit differently. Right. And so I've just kind of, like, thought about that a lot lately, because I've yo-yoed a lot, dude. And it's like, you know what? Now I understand that all the things that have afforded me to be in the position now where it's like, okay, I can really try and balance, like we talked about with your mother, I can really try and balance this stuff now. I just wasn't going to do it before, because when I wanted to get money, I was trying to get money, dude.
Yep.
I wasn't trying,
everything
to,
else
I wasn't trying to get
seat.
Biceps. I was trying to get freaking money, you know? And that's just how my brain works. I compartmentalize things, you know? So I know there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there like that. And it's like,
there are.
Dude, the sooner you can figure it out, the sooner you're going to see those happiness instead of, like.
And it's worth it for the happiness, for the fulfillment, for the confidence that you get, the momentum that you can create in those other areas of your business and your life by taking care of your effing health.
Yeah.
Like, I tried to go for 2 years straight. I let my health slip. I was going to the gym, but I wasn't eating good. I was getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I was fucking proud of it, man.
Yeah.
It's like, nobody's going to outwork me.
I'm in a 4 a.m. club, but you were going to bed at midnight, you know, and you didn't realize.
I'm working all day and trying to squeeze in time with my wife and my family and reading and goals and everything else that I was trying to be good at. And sleep was just taking my freaking time.
Yeah.
But then I went and got my blood work done.
Yeah.
And I was like, why am I always so effing tired? And why am I always so irritable? And why am I breaking out? And my doctor's saying, dude, you can't do this for much longer. I know that you think that you can, but my adrenals were completely flatlined.
Yeah.
My cortisol levels were crazy. Mm-hmm. I was at sub 200 on my testosterone.
Yeah.
And everything fell apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
It all just came down to sleep and having a good diet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't have gone at that pace for very much longer before I had some serious consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so true.
But I had to go through that shit.
You did.
To realize that, like, being macho and getting 3 hours of sleep is not sustainable. Super no matter how.
You're super macho with your 200 fucking test levels.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. That's not that macho.
Wait a second. 200, is 200 good?
Yeah.
Is 200 good? No, dude.
No, it's not. You're actually through the floor. This is very unhealthy. You should be around 600 to 800, pal. Yeah. You know?
So it's now it's taken me 2 years to get it back up over 800.
Yeah.
Because I did some serious damage to my adrenals and my ability to produce my own effing testosterone.
Yeah.
Where I was going back quarterly and doing everything and all the protocols and all of the diet and trying to get my sleep back to where it needed to be. And I just barely went over 800 for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah. You know, we get addicted to chaos, dude. You know what I mean? And sometimes we don't realize it. Like, we think we're fucking checking all the boxes, dude. We're like at the gym, you know, we're doing these things. We're trying to squeeze in a little time for the family. And we're focused on getting money and we're focused on in the gym. And it's like, you know, really sometimes when you look back, you're like, holy fuck, dude, that was actually really chaotic. And I felt like shit. And I just really had to like chill out for a second and like really get something healthy put in place, you know, like getting better sleep or, you know, making some little bit better routines to get better sleep and things like that as well, you know? But I do think that, man, I think we get addicted to chaos.
Like frenetic energy when I'm trying to do everything all at once, fast as I possibly could, 20 hours a day. I can still like just think back and feel that energy that I had.
Yeah.
And everybody like, get the fuck out of my way. Like, what do you get 8 hours of sleep for? And just like, it was bad.
How do you rejuvenate? Like right now, like now, when now that things are, you're at the level that you're at, you've been all in for this certain time. You've gone through your peaks and valleys. You've obviously been super successful at doing it. You probably don't regret any of it, but you've learned a lot throughout the journey.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you kind of like recharge now? Right. Like instead of, just operating full chaos and letting your adrenal glands blow out and, you know, trying to fix things at home and fix things at the business. Like, how do you recharge?
It still is pretty chaotic.
Yeah.
Like the calendar is completely full.
But the calendar is a gateway to more happiness probably.
But it's, you know, the sleep is more of a priority. I'm working with my medical practitioner and instead of trying to convince him that I need this protocol that'll help me not sleep, we're working on healthy protocols. And I'm actually taking his advice instead of me giving him advice.
Yeah.
And then I do my one-on-ones with my kids and every night I go home and make an effort now to turn off the phone and to spend some quality time and to take even 5 minutes. Like we played a game of what do you meme after breakfast this morning? When I could have been like, boom, 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 I got 17 emails and I got to get off to the office. And my girl's like, Daddy, do you want to play What Do You Meme? Absolutely. Even though I got a million things going on.
Yeah.
But I want to let them know I think they're where I get my energy from.
Yeah.
To just keep going and to keep putting up with all of the chaos bullshit. And the bullshit.
Yeah.
Because I go home and get some energy from them. And I know that they don't need a ton of my time. They just need some quality time. Because really, there's not much. Like, I don't know if you guys' schedule is still like that, but I don't have much for anything.
Not as much, dude.
Like, I don't do any really fun shit. This is fun. This is my fun.
Yeah.
Like, eat, sleep, and breathe, JKR windows, and developing myself as a leader, and spending time with my family. I'm kind of a freak. Like, that's all I do.
Yeah.
It's just routine after routine after routine, and make sure that I got my protocols and my vitamins and my nutrients, and I'm eating all my eggs and my steak. Yep. So I got all the energy in the world. And there's like this clarity and this focus. I was looking at my phone earlier and it's like, everything is so vivid right now, dude. I'm like, it's such a great fucking place right now with so much energy and everything.
It's chicken seems eggs, bro.
So clear.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Feels so good to be in this place.
And 40 hands, dude. They're taking good care of you, dog.
Dude, the calendar has been big for me, dude. Yeah. Just so you know, yeah. Like when you said, like, well, I don't know, it's still chaotic, but it is on your calendar.
Yep.
Like I did, I was going out of town whenever, bro. If there was an opportunity, California, Phoenix, Dallas, boom. Salt Lake, it don't matter. I was like, oh, I'm fucking shifting things around and going, right? Now it's like, dude, I'm not going anywhere more than a couple times a month. Yeah. It's on the calendar. It's pre-planned. And
that was the other thing I was going to say. When we were talking about the social media stuff, in 2021, I traveled over 200 days that year. It was crazy.
Opened a lot of doors, though.
It did. Right? A lot of great, you know, that's how I got the book deal, and I met Brad Lee, and I met Grant Cardone, and, you know, I've got relationships with a lot of people that if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have relationships with.
Yeah.
But, dude, by the end of that year, I'd come back to my kids, and they were being raised by a nanny, and I was like, what the hell am I even doing this for,
man? Yeah.
All of the most important things in my life are taking a back seat because I'm trying to get Instagram famous. And I was just still battling with this, like, what the hell am I even building a brand for?
Yeah.
So when I finally figured that out, I haven't gone to shit ever since then.
Yeah.
Like I went to that one up in Salt Lake. Did you guys go to the one, the Limitless one?
Uh-uh. Didn't make that one.
That's the first one I've been through since 2021.
Nice.
But in 2021, I went to everything. I was in Rhode Island, then I was in Florida, and then I was in California, and then I went to New York. And it was back to back. I was on jets.
Didn't
and
we see you at Avengers?
And I was in Avengers. Avengers and the 100 Million Mastermind.
Yeah.
I was a part of everything.
Yeah.
And it was good. Yeah. But it was another one of those experiences, like, what do I truly want here?
Yeah, you got to start getting a little more intentional with your time, you know, especially when, you know, because, dude, when you're doing it, family's going to suffer. And then, you know, you get shit chiming in well at home. It's like all of a sudden the business is suffering. So it's like, what do I do, right? And so, dude, the calendar and just being intentional with it, setting some hard parameters, some boundaries, some no's, you know.
And your making sure you're being intentional priorities. With your
yeses.
Mm-hmm. Like these things that I've got in front of me all the time, that if it doesn't align with these strategic priorities in my family and my business, not interested.
Yeah.
Me and my wife have our lifestyle design.
Yeah.
So we know what our criteria is. Mm-hmm. If it helps the business, if it helps our family, if it's going to improve our situation, it's going to add to the real estate portfolio in these very specific categories, let's consider it.
Yeah.
If it's not even close, it doesn't take any of our energy.
Yeah.
So you don't go to concerts, you don't do any of that stuff, huh?
I've never been to a concert unless I got invited. Like I think the only concerts I've ever been to is because I love spending time with my dad, and my dad loves concerts.
Yeah, my wife loves them. So I take her to concerts.
But I'm not a concert guy. I'm not
Who doesn't want to go to that Sphere though, bro? Isn't that looking freaking incredible?
It looks cool, but I have zero even desire to go to Las Vegas.
Nope, me neither.
There's nothing there for me.
I want to go check out that Sphere though, dude.
What that reminds me of? It's incredible. It reminds me
run the same of trails and see the same gym and
gladiators. Like just keeping people busy doing shit that's going to make them mindless zombies.
Give them entertainment and give them bread. Keep them fed and keep them entertained.
Keep them fed and keep them entertained, and we can keep doing all this shit behind the scenes.
Whatever the fuck we want. We'll try to control
it. I don't want anything to do with it, dude.
Yeah. That's why you got 40 chickens.
That's why I just hang around the house, love on my kids.
Play What Would You Meme or something.
What Would You Meme? What Do You Meme?
What Do You Meme? I've never heard that one.
I mean, I like Five Crowns, and I've got my couple of games that I love.
I only love Trouble. Other than that, I
love Trouble also.
I'll do a Trouble.
But my girls want to play all of the games that take forever.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, you know, I put a puzzle once or twice together, but not a big one. One that, you know, that you could start and finish in the same sitting.
Same sitting.
Yeah. So, bro, fun podcast. Fun to catch up with you again, man. How do people
appreciate you guys?
How do people find your book? I mean, it obviously dropped today, so congratulations on that. That's badass. It took you 3 years
Thank you.
To put this thing together. A lot of wisdom.
Really proud of this thing.
Yeah, hell yeah. So how do people find it?
So first of all, the book, there's a lot of people write books for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
I wrote this book specifically just to help people.
Yeah.
And when I was first starting to write it and working with publishers and people that are like, they're giving me all these ideas and tell me how you can collect all this information. I was like, I'm not interested in any of that. Like, well, this is why, and you need to be interested in that. So I'm not interested in any of that. Yeah. This book was just meant to help people. How do I get this book into as many people's hands as I possibly can in a short period of time so they can have the same possible type of information that I got a hold of at that right time in my life to change their life? And it's going to be a very small number of people because we know that, you know, that most people don't ever do anything significant with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are ready and you're seeking information like Trevor talked about, this might be the answer. It might be the story. It may be the inspiration that you need to change your life. And an example of some redneck freaking fella like me that took some of these examples of his own and did something with it. So you can find it on Amazon. All In, Get Unstuck, Accelerate, and Go Further Faster by Jefferson K. Rogers. And then look me up on Instagram, Jefferson K. Rogers.
I'm sure you'll have a link or something like there on your Instagram too, right?
Yep, right there in my bio, I got a link.
Yeah, okay. We'll put the information also in the show notes as well. So I think we pretty much covered it, right? You go to Amazon, Jefferson K. Rogers, All In, Get Unstuck, Accelerate, and Go Further Faster. I think everybody knows that they're meant to do great things with their life. It's just whether we listen to it.
And if you're ready.
It's whether we tap into that internal or if we just keep eating the bread and being entertained, you know, as we talked about.
I'm excited to dig into it, dude, just because we've watched your journey.
Yeah.
And it's just badass to see, like.
I appreciate that, man.
Just how far you've really come, dude. Like, what you've really accomplished. Like, we've literally been front row to it, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think you live the title, right? Like when you did the physique show, you went all in on the physique. When you did the business, you went all in on the business. When you know what I mean? So you ain't fucking around. It's not your piddle paddle.
That's what's funny about the title was when I say that I'm not the self promotion guy.
Yeah,
I didn't know what to call the book.
Yeah,
all I know is I wanted to help people, and I wanted to tell my story, and I wanted to share the methodologies and the examples from my life that I know can help other people, but I didn't know what to call it.
Well, everybody kept telling me
to call it, dude, you're just an all-in kind of guy. You should just call it All In.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, it's great, though, dude, because
I think it is good.
I like to read stuff because, obviously we've been aligned in each other's, worlds, these last however many years. But, dude, I've been in business going on 17 years, bro, and, like, we've had to really slow things down to catch up to capacity, and now we're finally in a position to start touching 20 million. And it's like, oh, shit, dude, like, to see what you've done in 5 years that I've been working 15-plus years on, it's incredible, dude. Like, I know I'm going to learn some stuff, even though I've had a front row seat. So just that I know you, I've had a front row seat to see what you've done and surpassed. Like, dude, it's going to make it fun to read this.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Well, I've loved watching you guys, too, with your guys' the real business owners, your guys' mentor program, watching you guys develop as leaders and communicators. Yeah. You guys have even come a long way since
I was first coming to meet
with you guys in 2017.
It's cool, dude. St. George has a lot of cool people. That does a lot of cool shit. So for such a small town.
There's a badass entrepreneurial spirit here.
Community. I love this little town, man.
Me too.
It's incredible.
So, guys, go get the book. You won't regret it. Everybody has the ability to do something great with their life. If you're figuring out how to get unstuck, this is the book for you. Other than that, guys, keep kicking ass. We'll see you next week.